There's a very curious verse in our gospel reading. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he tells her to go call her husband. She says, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus comes back with revealing information about her five prior marriages and the man she's living with now. If Jesus already knows what's going on, why would he approach it in such a way? Why ask a question if he already knows the answer? We know that God is omniscient, all-knowing. So what's going on? Well, not only does God know all things, but our all-knowing God knows each person intimately. And he puts this intimate knowledge to good work for our sakes. So in terms of all-knowing, God knows us completely. And actually, this scenario happens frequently in the scriptures, even in the Old Testament. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve hide themselves after their sin, God asks, "Where are you?" God knows where they are, but asks the question so that they might know where they are. After Cain kills Abel, God asks him, "Where is your brother?" Again, God knows, but wants Cain to be fully aware of his crime. When Job was going through his great sufferings and starts to question God, God responds with a question of his own. "Where were you, O man, when I created the universe?" Job was reminded of his humble place before God in all creation. In the Gospels, Jesus is often taking this approach with people. When he's out about to feed the multitudes, he asks them how many fish and loaves they have. He knows, but he wants them to know it so that they can see what happens. He asks the woman caught in adultery if anyone remains to condemn her. He knows that none have, and he knows why, but he asks her so that she knows she is forgiven. He asks the Pharisees whose image is on the coin. He asks the 12, "Who do the people say I am?" He asks the 12 again, "What are you arguing about?" He asks the blind, the lame, and the lepers, "What is it that you want from me?" He knows the answer to all these questions, but he is masterful in showing us ourselves by engaging us in the question. So what is Jesus wanting this woman at the well to see? He reveals intimate knowledge of her physical situation, her temporal life. And then she says, "I see that you are a prophet." Suddenly he has her attention at a deeper level, and she finds herself in the crossfire between the presence of this Jewish holy man and the historical animosity and division existing between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus steps into this moment when she is open to a deeper truth, and he leads her into the spiritual realm of her being. With the physical limits of prejudice overcome, he tells her that God the Father desires people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Like so many others, Jesus offers her correction. Correction of her personal life and correction of the whole Samaritan people, whose culture has been tainted with idolatries from the past. And finally, the woman reveals her desire. She plays the card that Jesus has been looking for and speaks her belief in the Messiah and the Christ who will come and tell them everything. And Jesus reveals to her that he is the one. The woman in her joy runs back to the town and brings more of her people to come and meet Jesus. And we hear that many come to believe in him, and they ask him to stay with them for a while. Now, I could tell you that we, like the woman, can meet Christ, can move past our prejudices and our idolatries, can begin to live better and lives in the Spirit, and that we can share it with others. And then I could finish up, assume that you heard a nice message about Jesus, and then we could go on with Mass. But if I did that, it would probably be an injustice to some who are listening. Surely there is someone here saying to him or herself, yeah, that's a good story with a good ending for somebody who was lucky enough to bump into Jesus. It's inspiring, but you know what? Unlike that woman, my life is a mess. My sins are big. My struggles are epic. Hope is hard to come by. And frankly, if I did bump into Jesus, it would scare me because I'm such a wreck. He might ignore me altogether or just throw me into hell. So I have to say just a bit more about the woman at the well. She is a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans are a remnant of the lost tribes of Israel, who, because of their faithlessness to God, were scattered into slavery and exile amongst five nations. And after long years of intermingling, they lost much of their core beliefs of the people of God, and they took on many of the traits of their pagan masters. This, then, is the source of their division with the Jewish people, who managed to remain faithful to God. The Samaritan people are outcasts in society. Now ask yourself, why is this woman at the well by herself? There's a whole community filled with women, and all of them go to the well daily to draw water, and they usually go together. It's part of what sustains the women of the culture. It's community. And yet this woman is alone at midday fetching water. Why? Well, we know that the woman has some real marital problems, and now she's living with a man who's not her husband. These things, and who knows what else in her life, make her an outcast in her town. So she is an outcast among outcasts. Can it get worse? Sure. Now she's at the well, and a man begins to engage her in conversation. This might mean that the man is questioning her morals, perhaps for his own purposes. And for her to respond at all could be verification of her own lack of morals. And on top of it all, the guy is a Jew. We may have a messed up life, but I doubt it's any worse than this poor woman's was. And yet, here comes Jesus. And it's almost as if he set up the meeting with her. Arrive at the well at noon, send the 12 off. Before she arrives, coincidence? What do you think? I prefer to think not. As we said, Jesus knows everything. He takes advantage of every opportunity to engage us. He's looking for the chance to ask us that zinger question that is tailor-made to get us to look at ourselves. As for the woman at the well, she needs to change a few things. But Jesus lets her know that the Father loves her and desires a strong spiritual relationship with her. And for us then, what question might Jesus ask us? What might he say to bring about the positive changes needed in our lives? Could it be a question about our marriage, our family, our relationships, treatment of those around us? Could it be a question about sexuality and how we're living it out in our lives? Could it be a question about honesty and integrity in our dealings with others in our daily routine? Perhaps Jesus wants to talk about the beliefs that we're living out. Beliefs on the value of life, wealth, possessions, the authority of God, the real presence in the Eucharist, the reality of the church. Maybe our treatment of the poor, strangers, employees, the elderly, or the handicapped would come up in a conversation with our Lord. Or maybe it's just the unbending attitude that we might have of some sort that doesn't allow God's Spirit to come into our lives and work. You know, our ego, arrogance, certitude, anger. There isn't one of us who wouldn't come out better for a good sit down at the well with God. Gospel, of course, means good news. The good news in all this is that the Father knows us intimately and loves us immensely and unconditionally. But like all good fathers, He loves us too much to leave us in a bad condition, without trying at least to bring us to some positive changes. He wants us to live in the joy and the fullness of His love. So maybe it's time for a talk with Dad.